Progressive is America's number one motorcycle insurer, so we understand motorcycles. No, really, we have a bike translator.
Okay, so this bike feels like he's capable of a little more than just trips to the convenience store.
Oh, also, he wants to let you know that you can buy a gallon of ice cream instead of a pint every time. Those are his words. So he said roughly like, blink the last wheel. It doesn't really translate, but the way he said it was super funny.
Get 24/7 roadside assistance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Roadside assistance subject to policy terms and limits and may require comprehensive coverage.
The market in 2023 is forcing investors to be buttoned up and review their financial portfolios like never before. Trusted friends of the Todd Stern Show, Legacy Precious Metals, they can help to advise you on the best options to invest in gold and silver, which both provide stability in times of market crisis. I know this company well, so speak directly to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals by calling 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We have a jam-packed show for you today, everybody. Buckle up. Hope you put some Red Bull on the Fruit Loops today, because we got to get to it. I want you to go ahead and write down this telephone number. You're going to need it if you want to call into the program today, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, real quick, before we jump into the big stories of the day, we are getting tremendous response about our trip to Israel. We're going to be taking 100 of our listeners to the nation of Israel later this year, in November, actually, for our inaugural Stand With Israel tour. And we want you to be a part of that. It is going to be a wonderful 7-day, 7-night, first-class experience. You're going to be getting exclusive visits to many of the major Holy Land sites. Also, meetings with Israeli government officials in the Netanyahu administration. And we're going to have a private tour of the Knesset. It's really going to be wonderful. And you're going to meet some of my special friends who live in Israel right now. So if you'd like information, we want you to go to our website. You can get all the information there. You can sign up. A lot of people have been asking, do I need a clot shot? No, you do not. You don't need a COVID shot. Also, you can pay in installments. And those of you this month, if you sign up this month on the installment plan, we're going to give you an exclusive breakfast with yours truly in Tel Aviv, as well as a Todd Stern Show jacket, which is pretty awesome. And we're not making many of these jackets, but you'll have to sign up for the installment plan. And you can do that at toddstarnes.com, or you can call Dylan and he'll get your information at 844-747-8868. Also, making plans to attend CPAC. I was on the phone yesterday, and I'll be doing a lot of things on the main stage this year. So we will be broadcasting the show from Washington. If you're planning on being at CPAC, we'd love for you to drop by and say hello. It's really a lot of fun to meet our listeners, especially at gatherings like CPAC. President Trump is going to be there. We're going to be talking to a number of other folks as well. Mike Pompeo, all sorts of great people are going to be at CPAC this year, and you can get information on our live show blog. All right, some weird developments, and we're going to get to what happened yesterday. During the show, there were some pretty contentious hearings up on Capitol Hill involving the war on conservatives that was being waged by Twitter. And there were, I mean, when you look at the numbers of people that have been censored on Twitter and the number of people that are still being censored on Twitter, I will tell you that Elon Musk has done a terrific job, but now it's just, I mean, it's really, it hasn't improved. I mean, people are still being censored. You can't find any information now. It's sort of a free-for-all over there. But yesterday on Capitol Hill, in this House hearing, you had all sorts of folks going after the people who run Twitter, including Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I want you to hear this information. It's a little long, but I want you to hear Cut 17. Here's MTG dropping some truth bombs on these former executives at Twitter.
Thank you much. Chair recognizes Ms. Greene for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Baker, Ms. Gaddy, Mr. Roth, and Ms. Navaroli. You can consider your speech canceled during my time because you canceled mine. You see, you permanently banned my personal Twitter account, and it was my campaign account also. So let's talk about election interference, shall we? January 2nd, 2002, you permanently banned my Twitter account. This was the account that I would put my campaign ads on, raise money on, fight back when attacked with lies, and be able to talk to my voters in my district. But you banned it. And then let me explain. My account was not reinstated until November 21st, 2022. That was after my election on November 8th. You know, at your company or your former company where you worked, Twitter employees, over 98% of them donate to Democrats. So while you coordinated with DHS, the FBI, the CIA, our government, and outside groups to permanently ban, shadow ban conservative Americans and candidates like me and the former president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump, you were censoring and wrongfully violating our First Amendment free speech rights. Guess what? None of you hold security clearances. None of you are elected, and none of you represent 750,000 people like I do. Let's explain. 52 United States Law 10101. No person shall intimidate, threaten, coerce, or attempt to stop any other person for the purpose of interfering with their rights to vote or to vote as he may choose. You didn't shadow ban or permanently ban my Democrat opponent. No, you did that to me. And that was wrong, and it was against the law. You see, not only that, was it me that you violated my First Amendment rights? You violated countless conservative Americans. These were doctors that were trying to tell the truth about COVID, doctors that were having success treating people with ivermectin that you all would not allow to be talked about on your platform. These were parents complaining about their school boards teaching gender lies in their schools, biological males entering their daughters' bathrooms and sports. These were also people questioning the 2020 election. And guess what? That's Americans' First Amendment right. These were people talking about voting machines. You know what? Democrats did that in 2019, before the 2020 election. On Twitter, people could question elections such as 2016, saying Hillary won. But in 2020, no one could question elections saying Trump won. You abused the power of a large corporation, big tech, to censor Americans. And you want to know something? Guess what? I'm so glad that you're censored down. I'm so glad you've lost your jobs. Thank God Elon Musk bought Twitter. And you know what? Let's talk about something a little bit further. It's amazing to me, Mr. Roth, as the head and trust of safety at Twitter, your ability, or should I say inability, to remove child porn. Now, here's something that disgusts me about you. In your doctoral dissertation entitled Gay Data, you argued that minors should have access to Grindr, an adult male gay hookup app. Minors? Really? You know, Elon Musk took over Twitter and he banned 44,000 accounts that were promoting child porn. You permanently banned my Twitter account, but you allowed child porn all over Twitter. Twitter had become a platform, you said, connecting queer young adults. You also wrote on Twitter in 2010, can high school students ever meaningfully consent to sex with their teachers? In 2021, while you were the director of trust and safety on Twitter, an underage boy and his mother announced a lawsuit against Twitter because Twitter was benefiting from and refused to remove a lewd video featuring this boy and another minor. That is repulsive. But you violated me. What were my tweets? Okay, let's talk about them. I was talking about the deaths being reported on VAERS. By the way, that's on the CDC website. I was also saying that I didn't think any entity should enforce a non-FDA approved vaccine or mask. Guess what? A lot of people agreed with me. But you called that COVID misinformation. By the way, I'm a member of Congress and you're not. I also said the controversial COVID-19 vaccines should not be forced on our military. You want to know something? Republicans stopped that in the NDAA.
Ladies, time has expired.
And your time has expired. I yield back. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, there you go. MTG fired up, loaded for bear. But the facts are the facts. And the Twitter executives that were testifying up on Capitol Hill yesterday, they allowed, and not only allowed, but endorsed child pornography and pedophilia on Twitter while banning people like MTG for raising, by the way, very important and very serious issues. And we all remember how many people were actually banned, how many people were canceled because they dared to ask any questions about what was really going on with these vaccines. By the way, Nancy Mace, the Congress lady from South Carolina, went after Twitter executives over COVID misinformation. Take a listen.
May I ask of you, where did you go to medical school?
I did not go to medical school.
I'm sorry?
I did not go to medical school.
That's what I thought. Why do you think you or anyone else at Twitter had the medical expertise to censor a doctor's expert opinion?
Our policies regarding COVID were designed to protect individuals. We were seeing...
You guys censored Harvard-educated doctors, Stanford-educated doctors, doctors that are educated in the best places in the world, and you silenced those voices. I have another tweet by someone with a following of a full 18,000 followers. This person put a chart from the CDC on Twitter. It's the CDC's own data, so it's accurate by your standards. And you all labeled this as misleading. You're not a doctor, right, Ms. Gatti?
No, I'm not.
Okay. What makes you think you or anyone else on Twitter have the medical expertise to censor actual, accurate CDC data?
I'm not familiar with these particular situations.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not.
Well, there you go. That's Nancy Mace, who, by the way, went on to say that she herself has been suffering side effects from the China virus vaccine. Man, people are dropping all over the place. It's unbelievable what's happening with that. So, look, what is going to happen here? I don't know. Here's what I hope happens. I think people need to pay a price. We have Twitter executives now on the record admitting that they interfered with the 2020 presidential election. That is a crime. Here's Congressman Clay Higgins from Louisiana. Cut 12.
Bottom line is that the FBI had the Biden crime family laptop for a year. They knew it was leaking. They knew it would hurt the Biden campaign. So the FBI used its relationship with Twitter to suppress criminal evidence being revealed about Joe Biden 1 month before the 2020 elections. You, ladies and gentlemen, interfered with the United States of America 2020 presidential election, knowingly and willingly. That's the bad news. It's going to get worse because this is the investigation part. Later comes the arrest part. Your attorneys are familiar with that. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to spend 5 hours with these ladies and gentlemen during depositions surely yet to come. But for right now, I'll yield the balance of my time to my colleague, Mr. Jordan.
All right. So, look, here's where we're at on all of this. We're in the same place we were back when the Republicans were in charge of Congress during the first 2 years of the Trump administration. They were promising a lot of hearings, which they had. And we had a lot of these Republicans coming on my show day in and day out saying that this scandal was going to bring down the Democrats, that it was going to lead all the way to the Barack Hussein Obama. They had all the evidence. They had the breadcrumbs. They were following the trails. And, oh, my goodness, every single day. And so anyway, about a year and a half into all of this, I finally started asking questions of some of these Republicans up on Capitol Hill. So when are we going to start seeing the shoes drop here? When is that going to happen? Keep in mind, during the first 2 years of the Trump administration, the Republicans controlled the House and the Senate. And keep in mind that the years leading up to that historic election back in 2016, you had Republicans saying, well, we have to have control of all. We have to have control of the House. We have to have control of the Senate. We have to have control of the executive branch, the White House. And if we have control of all three, we're going to be able to do stuff. Well, they did diddly squat. And they did it quite effectively, but it was still diddly squat. They didn't do anything, ladies and gentlemen. So I appreciate all of these hearings. I appreciate MTG giving the Twitter executives the what for. But at the end of the day, what are we going to get out of all of this? Because they're using our taxpayer money right now, and I don't want it to be squandered again. Are you hopeful that we are going to see people go to jail? Are you hopeful that we are going to see these people pay a price? Or do you think this is just a bunch of theater? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to get into a bizarre story involving James O'Keefe from Project Veritas. Looks like there may be a coup underway, and Project Veritas looks like they're getting ready to fire James O'Keefe. We're going to give you the very latest information on that. There's some weird stuff happening in a lot of these conservative groups. And I have a theory, and I'll share what that is in just a moment. We do have to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a small retail business almost $80,000. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a manufacturing business nearly $250,000. And COVIDTaxRelief.org just got a large distribution business almost $900,000. If you run a business, a church, or a nonprofit and paid your employees through all or part of the pandemic, you could qualify for up to $26,000 per employee through the government's CARES Act. But beware of clickbait or pay upfront companies who make you do the work and take a huge percentage of your refund. COVIDTaxRelief.org receives a low reasonable commission only after you receive your refund. And with 300 CPAs and tax experts, no one is better at getting you the maximum benefit than COVIDTaxRelief.org. Visit COVIDTaxRelief.org now because this plan expires soon. That's COVIDTaxRelief.org, COVIDTaxRelief.org. Refund examples are not a guarantee and not all businesses qualify. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing good today, America. It's a good day to be a patriot, I'll tell you that much. Hey, a question for all you Catholics out there. Do you prefer the Latin Mass or the regular Mass? I'm a Protestant, I'm a Baptist, so we don't do Latin. But I'm curious if you are a Catholic, do you prefer the Latin Mass to the, I guess, English? Is it English? I don't know. Someone will call in and will help us figure this out. Anyway, the FBI is using a report from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, by the way, is a radical leftist racist hate group. And the Southern Poverty Law Center is out there attacking conservatives all over America. As a matter of fact, you might remember years ago, was this 2015? It's been a long time. There was a domestic terrorist attack on our friends at Family Research Council. Some guy showed up with guns and Chick-fil-A sandwiches. And the guy's plan was to kill everybody at Family Research Council and then smear their bodies with the Chick-fil-A sandwiches. It's sickening. And fortunately, the security guard, who I know at FRC, was able to disarm the gunman. The security guard was shot, badly wounded. But he was able to stop this terrorist attack. Well, it turned out in the course of the investigation that the terrorist used information he got from the Southern Poverty Law Center to try and carry out the attack on Family Research Council. I mean, this is pretty evil stuff. Well, now the FBI is saying, all of you people that go and use the Latin Mass, you guys are white supremacists. 844-747-8868. I'll tell you more about that coming up.
I've noticed that when I go to the shopping mall and buy one of the towels, they just don't seem to work very well. They feel too soft and too lotion-y. They just don't absorb the water. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell over at MyPillow has found a solution, and you've got to get yourself one of his brand new towels. These things are incredible. And best of all, they're made right here in the U.S., and all of his towels come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You're going to be able to get a 6-piece set, 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths, all made with USA cotton. They are soft yet absorbent, and you're normally going to pay over $100. But thanks to our good friend Mike Lindell, $39.99. That's it. It's a great deal. All you have to do, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506 for some incredible radio specials. Again, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS.
So let's talk about Project Veritas, if we can. Wow, what a mess. What a mess. And we've seen this play out in a couple of other large conservative organizations. But James O'Keefe, from what we can gather, is in the hot seat in the company that he actually created. And this is a nonprofit. By the way, do you realize that Project Veritas, they rake in $20 million in donations? So this is what I mean when conservatism has become a big business. I mean, and again, they're a nonprofit. You say, well, Stearns, what about you? You own a conservative company. Yes, I do. But mine is a for-profit company. So we are making money. We are in the business to make money. We're not some sort of a nonprofit where we're, you know, and again, some of these companies, I don't know how they get away with some of this stuff. I'm telling you, but conservatism is big business, and conservatives, listen up. You've got to do your homework when you are donating to these companies. Find out what your money's really going to. Now, I will say this. I was checking Project Veritas's nonprofit information last night, and for the amount of money they're bringing in and the amount of work that James O'Keefe and his team does, looks to me like the salaries of the top executives, including James O'Keefe, are pretty, pretty fair. The guy's bringing in he's making a little over $300,000 and change a year. That's pretty respectable. I mean, it's a great salary, but it's not anything that's outrageous, is what I'm trying to say. So anyway, there was a big dust up last night about Project Veritas, and word came out that James O'Keefe, who founded the company, has been placed on leave and could be fired. That could happen tomorrow. According to sources, James O'Keefe is a tyrant. And they say that staffers are really upset over his management style. They accuse him of berating employees and eating a sandwich that belonged to a pregnant woman. Well, maybe he was hungry. I don't know. Then again, the pregnant woman, she's eaten for two, so yeah, I don't know what that was all about. So New York Magazine first reported this. Conservative world, conservative Twitter is going bonkers, and people are taking sides here. And I'm very surprised to see that a lot of folks are not all that surprised that James O'Keefe is a horrible person to work for. Now, don't get me wrong, and I want to be very clear here about something. James O'Keefe may very well be a horrible person to work for, but that doesn't discount the incredible work they're doing, because they're doing some great work. Without Project Veritas, we would not know that Joe Biden used to take naked showers with his daughter. We wouldn't know that. We wouldn't know anything about the Hunter Biden laptop story, among other things. So you have to ask yourself, all right, if you're going into this environment and you're going to take a job with Project Veritas, you have to accept the fact, number one, you're doing God's work by exposing all of this evil out there. But number two, you're going to have to figure out, can you put up with a tyrant for a boss? You've got to be able to do that. So people are just really put out over this. Project Veritas putting out a statement, the board of directors putting out a statement. Project Veritas has achieved immense growth and impact during the last 3 years. Like all newsrooms at this stage, the Project Veritas board of directors and management are constantly evaluating what the best. Okay, this is all legalese. Here we go. There are 65 plus employees at Project Veritas. That's still a good sized staff, but nothing really out. So this is nothing about anything about financial malfeasance or anything immoral or anything like that. There are 65-plus employees at Project Veritas dedicated to continuing the mission to expose corruption, dishonesty, waste, fraud, other misconduct. Okay, get to the point here, Project Veritas. To our supporters, we hear you, we care about you, and we will never give up. And they say that James O'Keefe is on a well-deserved paid leave. So well-deserved, in other words, he's getting what he asked for, or well-deserved because he's been working very hard and he needs a vacation? They didn't answer that question. So here's where we're at in a nutshell on Project Veritas. Without James O'Keefe, there is no Project Veritas. It's really that simple. But I've got two Project Veritas stories to share with you. Just so because I don't have a dog in the hunt. I love what they do, and we promote what they do, and I will still continue to do that. But I've got to share two Project Veritas stories with you that will help you understand who these people really are, because James O'Keefe is a very unkind person. So, and they both have, believe it or not, both of these instances happened at CPAC. So we were doing a book signing at CPAC. And it's always a big deal, and we love it. They do a great job at CPAC, and so we were there, and we got over to our appointed seat, and I'm there signing books for our listeners. And all of a sudden, there's this massive commotion. I had been maybe the book signing, we were about 3 or 4, maybe 5 minutes into the book signing, and all of a sudden, there's this massive commotion. And here comes this throng of people just literally hurting over, and these people come rushing up to the table. You've got to move right now. Get out of here. Go now. Get out of here. I was rather startled, and I said, what's going on here? And they said, you've got to get out of here because we're about to do a book signing with James O'Keefe, and he needs all the tables cleared. You have to leave now. I'm like, what the hell? So I got a little un-Baptist. I just want to be honest with you. You can put me on the church prayer list. But I stood up and I said, we're not going anywhere. I don't care who's coming. And I mean, they got really nasty about it. I've never seen anything like this. And I'm sitting here, and by the way, this is not something we were doing. The bookstore at CPAC had asked us to come and do a book signing. Man, so they got their britches in a bunch over this. But and folks, I'm as friendly as they come. And we're always happy to promote book signings and all this other kind of whatnot. Even when some of these conservatives that you love, and this is why I'm not going to name some of the other conservatives, because you love these people. But may I just say something? They're jerks in private. So they'll ask to come on and promote their books, and I bring them on to the show, and I let them promote their books because they're good books, right? And they've got a good message. But then when it comes time for us to have a book coming out, and the reason why they want to come on our show, by the way, is because our audience will buy books. You guys love supporting conservatives. But then when we have a book out and we ask to go on their shows, well, all of a sudden they shut it down. Oh, no, we don't do that. There was a host. I can't tell you who it was. I wish I could tell you. I want to be able to tell. No, I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but bear with me for a moment. I was at Fox News. There is a very popular host. Can I tell? I shouldn't say the name of the show, but let's see. If you were counting, it's not outnumbered. No, but if you're counting, like, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So anyway, there's a hostette, one of the lady hosts. And I had been asked to endorse a book or something that this person, and I was happy to do it. I love doing that kind of stuff. So anyway, when I had a book, this is several years back. So I had a book coming out, and I said, hey, you know, would you like to endorse this book? Oh, I don't do that. I don't endorse other people's projects. Oh my God. The folks, it's just, there are some people in the conservative movement, and you just want to say, bless your heart. Now, you Southern ladies, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. But you sometimes want to say, bless your heart, with a cast iron skillet up the backside of the head. I know. I told you, put me on the prayer list. I'm getting in the flesh today, as the preacher says. So anyway, back to James O'Keefe. So we didn't move. And man, did they get all upset. They had their cameras out and filming. I said, I don't care. I don't care who it is. We are supposed to be doing a book signing here. If you've got a problem with it, you need to take it up with the owner of the bookstore who asked us to be here. Behave yourself. So that was one experience with these Project Veritas folks. And again, I love what they do, but they're jerks. So anyway, fast forward to 2 years ago. And we were at CPAC, and they have this private little area where if you're a speaker, you go in and you stand in line. It's just a few minutes, and you get your papers and your badge and all that kind of stuff, and and then off you go to CPAC. So there was something wrong with the computer system, and so the lines were a little long. I was standing in line with Senator Marsha Blackburn's person. So the senators, you know, they don't stand in line. They have people to do that. Right. But I just like doing that kind of stuff myself. So I guess I could have had my person do it, but I chose to stand there. So anyway, Marsha Blackburn's person and I, we're standing there together. They get the computers back working and all of a sudden there's a person in front of us and she's not moving. And so we said, hey, you know, I think the computers are fixed. You can go ahead and get your. She goes, oh, no. I'm blocking the line for my staff. And we were like, what? And so all of a sudden, 25 people, like, literally cut to the front of the line. And they're all Project Veritas people, every single one of them. And because they were more important than everybody else standing in the line. So I'm flabbergasted by this. The Marshall, Senator Blackburn's person says, oh, hell no. I literally, oh, hell no. And the guy jumps in and is like, hey, you guys, you can't be jumping in line like this. You got to go back in the back of the line like everybody else. And so it was getting heated. And I thought, geez, Alou, the two guys from Tennessee may have to fist fight the Project Veritas. No, I'm serious. It was crazy. But they're just incredible. You know why? Because they think they're better than everybody else. And that's that. And that's who they are. But you know what? They do great work. And you just have to discount all of that. So I don't know what's going on over at Project Veritas. Honestly, it's a mess. But the same thing is happening to some extent over at the Daily Wire with Steven Crowder. And there's just a lot. Candace Owens. I mean, there's a lot of chaos right now in the conservative media world. And I think, honestly, may I just you see, I'm already just wading into all of this, but I want to explain what I think is going on. Do you remember when you were a kid and you kept trying to do stuff that you knew you weren't supposed to do, but you felt like you were able to do it because you're just all that in a bag of chips? Well, I think that's what's happening here. And basically, we got a bunch of people out there in conservative media world that are just getting too big for their britches. And they think their poop don't stink. And trust me, folks, if you're downwind from all that mess, it stinks. It really does. So anyway, I hate it for James O'Keefe. I will say this. If they fire him, Project Veritas is done. I mean, they're done. It's gone because he is Project Veritas. Now, is it possible that they can all learn lessons here? I hope so. Maybe they can learn to be nice to people, be kind and considerate, do unto others. Because one of these days, if you don't do unto others, they're going to do it to you. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. What a mess. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Got a text message from our buddy Shanklin. Says, Stearns, the best advice, don't meet your heroes. That way, you're never disappointed. That's fair enough. That's a good point. And you know, Shanklin used to work for Rush, Limbaugh, El Rushbo, and just did a terrific job. And you know, El Rushbo, here's the thing about Rush. The guy was just incredibly generous with his fortune. I mean, he went above and beyond. And you never really heard a lot about the things he did, but he did a lot of fundraising on the Rush Limbaugh show back in the day. And we like to be able to do that to the best of our abilities here on this program. So anyway, just folks, it's just important because there are a lot of conservative grifters out there. And I'm not saying that's the case here, but I'm just saying you got to be careful. And you got to make sure you do your homework and make sure these people have a history, a legacy. According to to one report, this is fascinating. One of the concerns among donors is how Project Veritas is spending some of its money. There was apparently James O'Keefe is a big musical theater person. And O'Keefe, who performed in high school musicals, added a series of musical productions to Project Veritas's repertoire, including an elaborate Project Veritas experience that involves O'Keefe dancing while wearing a bulletproof vest. In December, Project Veritas acknowledged improperly giving O'Keefe $20,500, wow, in excess benefits to pay for Project Veritas staff to accompany him to Virginia as he performed a lead role in the production of the musical Oklahoma. You guys familiar with Oklahoma? Isn't it? That's one of the old school musicals when Broadway was pretty cool. I don't remember any of the songs. Oklahoma. That's the only thing. That's the only song I know. I don't have a very good singing voice either, unlike Mr. O'Keefe. I'm not a song and dance man. So anyway, you got to figure all this stuff out for yourself, though. Do your homework when giving to these conservative groups and know that, man, they are rolling in the dough. Here's my take on this, and I know it's sort of weird, but it works for me. I don't give money to conservative groups. I give money to my church, right? That's what I do. That's just it seems to work for me. And it keeps me from getting aggravated knowing my money may be going to, you know, a Broadway show. I'm just telling you. All right, we've got a great rest of the program lined up here. We've got to jump into the latest with this laptop scandal, AOC now weighing in. Also, Senator James Lankford is going to be here from Oklahoma. And, I won't do that again. The staff is very upset when I do that. Also, we're going to be checking in with our friends at Hillsdale College. Apparently, they're being overrun with students. People are surging to Hillsdale because they are anti-woke, and you can't beat that. All right, we got to take a break here coming up. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Also, Deion Sanders, remember him? Coach Deion Sanders now at the University of Colorado, coming under fire from the atheist. Turns out that they don't like him praying with his players, and they're threatening to sue the University of Colorado. And it looks like the University of Colorado is going to surrender to the atheist. So we'll tell you more about that story as well. Also, don't forget, folks, if you'd like information on our trip to Israel, give Dylan a call. He is standing by now. He'll get all your information. That number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868 if you'd like information on our trip to Israel coming up in November of this year. All right, stick around, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. Wow. Hour two underway. A crazy story. We're going to be talking to a lawmaker who has taken up the cause of female athletes across the Fruited Plain. And the story involves a swimmer by the name of Riley Gaines. Riley Gaines is from the University of Kentucky. She's a graduate swimming star, and now she is dedicating her life to fight to saving women's sports. So she's out there fighting the good fight. And you might remember Riley Gaines on that platform with Leah Thomas, the dude who got to swim with the girls. And Riley Gaines is now calling on the NCAA to establish separate locker rooms for transgender athletes who participate in female sports. And I think that's an incredible idea. As a matter of fact, why not just go ahead and again, this is the thinking in the conservative world now. They're saying, well, fine, let's just have transgender sports teams. Well, there's just one problem with that. When you walk down that path, you are now acknowledging that that is actually a thing, that God is really not making men and women anymore, that God's making who knows what. We have male teams. We have female teams. Everybody's covered. Everybody. Anyway, this Riley Gaines, she says that Leah Thomas was really abusive and bullying to the actual biological girls and would expose his little bits in the women's locker room. Niblets. She said at one point he even dropped his pants in the girls' locker room. Do you see what this is all about? This is really all about these men who clearly need psychological help, lording over these women. Look at Don Lemon. And nobody wants to talk about what's really going on with Don Lemon over at CNN, the most profane name in news. But I'm going to tell
Negro
you.
Brian Negro Network.
Thanks, Judge Joe Brown. I'm going to tell you what's going on with that. You see, Don Lemon is under fire because he is bullying his female co-host. And you see, Don Lemon thinks he has a right to do that because of his protected status. No, not as a black man. No, the other one. The alphabet. Yeah, he thinks he's covered by that. He thinks that gives him protection to treat his female co-host. You see, Don Lemon won't do that to a man, but he will do it to the women, and he has a bad track record of behaving that way. It's not the only person out there doing that, too. This is truly a war on women. It's beyond me why you don't have the National Organization for Gals and all those other people out there standing up and defending the women. Anyway, we're going to be talking with a lawmaker up on Capitol Hill who is taking up this cause a little bit later on this hour of the show. Also, by the way, Senator James Lankford is going to be here as well. Are you a millennial? Do you have millennial children or grandchildren? Now, the millennials are all of you folks that were born between 1981 and 1996. A lot of people. And millennials are coming under fire because of a few polls that are pointing out some flaws with their generation's work ethic. So I'm just curious. Do you work with a millennial? Do you own a business and you have employed millennials? I'm curious to know about the work ethic of these millennials. One new Fortune poll, Fortune 500 poll, shows that 35% of millennials across America still rely on their parents to pay their bills. Lisa Booth on the Big Sunday Show on Fox says, if you're a millennial, your parents are trying to retire and you're taking their money, like, go out and get a job. It's really disrespectful. Are you a millennial parent and your child lives at home with you? And is your child mooching off of you, or is this something that you would prefer? Booth, who happens to be a millennial, made the point that she plans to raise her own children to be more tough than others in her generation. For the people that showed up even during COVID and went to work when others sat at home and got a check, maybe now they're bosses. So guess what, kids? While you sit at home in mommy and daddy's basement playing whatever game and pretending you're the victim, your friend who graduated with you is going to be your boss. Many millennials argue that the cost of living in the United States has spiked over the decades and inflation is not making paying the bills any easier. To make matters worse, obtaining a college degree is becoming increasingly necessary to stay afloat in competitive job markets. But the cost of attending college has also gone up. Well, let me just say a couple of things here. Do you really need a college degree nowadays? Is that necessary? Do you really need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a degree, a bachelor's degree, or an advanced degree, a master's? Do you really need that to succeed in life? You know, that's the problem with Barack Hussein Obama, because he told all of these millennials who were going to college, just heading off into college, when he became president, he was telling these kids, there's something wrong with you if you don't go to college. There's something wrong with you if you just want to go right into the workforce, or if you want to go to a community college. There's something wrong with you. This was pounded into the brains of kids over and over and over and over again. And now you have a generation of young people, many of whom have degrees that are completely worthless. They realized their gender studies degree in lesbian pottery is not going to pay the bills. I'm sorry, it's just not. And can we just be honest? The pottery's not all that great. So I'm just curious, how do we fix the millennial generation? Or is it just too late? You see, my concern is what Generation Z is going to turn out doing. Are they going to behave just like millennials? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Minnesota. Brian on the line. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you, Brian.
I got a couple of your books for Christmas this year, so I was happy to get those. I wanted to comment on millennials and a little bit of Gen Z, if I may. I am a hiring manager, and I have to say, I think millennials ending in 96, I think that's the last that we have of people with strong work ethics, actually. So I have to slightly disagree with you there. I think Gen Z is a problem that I see, because a lot of these kids, they don't even own a pair of jeans. So they come to work in hoodies and sweatpants all the time, to job interviews, you name it.
This is Generation Z that does that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have noticed some of that, and that's why I do have concerns about Gen Z. The millennials, though, I think the problem with the millennials, Brian, is that a lot of them were coerced into going to college when they, A, could not afford it, and B, really had no need to go to college. But they were told if they didn't go to college, there was something wrong with them.
Correct. And I wish I didn't spend $50,000 on college, but hey, I got my bachelor's degree, so I can't really get it back, can I?
Well, no, but and look, there's nothing wrong with going to college. I mean, that's what some people want to do, and that's all well and good. But I can tell you, even within our family, there are individuals who said, you know what, I want to go to a trade school, and those people are out there making tons of money. They don't have any debt. They've already bought their first house. You know, they're doing very well for themselves. And unfortunately, others are not doing good because they're saddled down with debt and all sorts of other issues.
Yes, and it makes it very difficult to buy a home and all these other things that you want because the teachers, I remember when I was a junior in high school, that there was nothing but pressure to A, in my time, to vote for Obama, but for B, to go to college right after high school, which was a complete waste of resources, in my opinion. I wish I would have just worked, put a lot more money in my 401k, and just, you know, gone to trade school or something else.
You know, and we a lot of people poke fun at Dave Ramsey, but you know, there's a lot of truth to what Dave says. And you know, being debt free and getting out from under the mountain of debt, that is something that is lost, I suspect, not just on the millennial generation, but also Gen Z.
Absolutely, I listen to Dave Ramsey sometimes, but of course, more so you.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, Brian, thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening from Minnesota. And this is interesting. So the issue for you is Generation Z. Ladies and gentlemen, what about you? Are you seeing an issue with work ethic? And let's just say these last two generations coming up, 844-747-8868. And how do you turn it around? How did you parent your millennials? Did they turn out okay? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Yeah, according to this Fox News study, more millennials are mooching off their parents than any other time in American history. Living at home. People say, go out there, get a job. That's what they say. Oh, by the way, Meta just restored President Trump's Twitter page, for those of you who are still on, Facebook page, for those of you who are still on Facebook. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Ernie on the talk station. Hey, Ernie, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Todd, I think it has a lot more to do with how a kid is raised than the age group he's in.
You think so? So you don't think this is just a significant generational issue?
Oh, it certainly is. It certainly is. There are jobs going begging here, entry-level jobs starting at $12 to $15 an hour. And this is Eastern North Carolina, which is not noted for great wages.
Ernie, I want you to listen to this. This is from the Fox News story. The poll found that 63% of millennials and Gen Z have experienced feelings of burnout. They're not old enough to even know what burnout is, Ernie.
They have no idea.
They got no idea. In addition,
no idea.
Hold on, I got to read this to you, Ernie. In addition, many millennials reported not knowing how to accomplish certain tasks that were once expected of adults. And here are some of the things the millennials don't know, Ernie. This is nuts. They don't know how to change the oil in their car. They don't know how to change a tire. They don't know how to tie a tie. They don't know how to jumpstart a car or sewing a hole. Ernie, what are we doing as parents?
That is correct on every count. I can only tell you this. I'm the Vietnam War generation baby boomer kind of person. I did not go to college. But I got a wonderful, wonderful education in the Air Force that enabled me to come out and begin making a lot of money in the electrical field. I was very successful. Our son was born in 1970. We were able to buy our first house at that time. And my son grew up to be a very intelligent, industrious young man because he had no choice but to do some work for me because I wasn't going to give him spending money.
You see, Ernie, I'm curious. Do you remember how old you were when you got your first job?
Well, my first job was a paper boy when I was 12 years old. That was then. This is now. Those were the 1960s. But anyway, at this point, I'm 77 years old, and I have a grandson now who's going to a two-year community trade school. He's learning a trade. And it all goes back to how you're raised. My son doesn't give his son anything for doing nothing.
You see, I like that, and that's the way it should be, Ernie. You've clearly raised your kids right, and now your kids are raising their kids right. I remember, like you, I was 11 or 12 when I got my first job, and I'll never forget, it was first day of summer break. Dad woke me up at the crack of dawn, said, "Son, you're getting a job." And that job was mowing grass and, you know, doing yard work. And I, you know, had made a little bit of spending money. And from that point on, I always worked.
Todd, it doesn't make any difference what your first job is. It's just the idea of,
that's it.
You wind up with some jingle in your pocket.
And it's the responsibility of showing up on time, clocking in, keeping track of your hours, doing a good job, going above and beyond, you know, learning how to work with others. I mean, so many lessons that you learn. And a lot of kids these days have never even experienced having a job until well after college.
Well, all I can say to that is it's not part of our family's legacy. We work.
Good. And that's what we need. That's what makes America America. We're not a lazy nation. And unfortunately, we've become even more lazy during the pandemic when the government was paying people to sit on their couches and eat potato chips and watch the movies. That was a dangerous, dangerous precedent they're setting.
That was never part of our lifestyle. And even my twilight, I'm in the twilight years of my career, and I still work. If I get a little job, I go out and do it.
Do I
really have to? No, but I still work. I'm not so sure you can be born with, but it's an ethic that can be instilled within you.
Ernie, you're a good man, and I agree wholeheartedly with you. So I appreciate you calling in, Ernie. You give us a holler back. But I'm curious, do you teach your kids these things? I mean, it seems to me if you're a millennial, you're 30 years old and you don't know how to change oil in your car. I mean, by the time I graduated high school, there were certain things I knew how to do, and pretty much all of them on this list, and I shall add a few. I knew how to wash clothes and separate the whites from the colors when you were doing the laundry. And you learned how to basically make a few meals, so you at least knew your way around the kitchen. But that was the whole point of going to school, going to high school. I graduated in 85. And at that time, guys were taking shop class and girls were taking home economics. And the girls learned how to cook and make budgets and take care of the house. And the guys were learning how to change tires and change the oil and build things. That's just the way things were. And now I guess they're too busy trying to, you know, confuse people about their pronouns. And the teachers are too busy taking kids to, you know, to the abortion clinic to have the abortions and to get their private parts whacked off. They just don't have time to do any of this stuff anymore. But I am curious, moms and dads, and especially those of you of this age, are you teaching your kids this? What do you do? What is it that a child, a well-rounded American child, should know by the time they turn 18 years old, graduate high school, and leave the nest? 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. 844-747-8868. Well, I learned how to grill, too, but that's kind of a guy's thing, right? Yeah, I mean, the guys handle the grill, and I mean, that's just the way God intended. All right, we'll be right back.
Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next? You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to have you with us today. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Let's get to the phone lines here, 844-747-8868. Ronnie in North Carolina, WSIC. Hey, Ronnie, what's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Starnes. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to comment on, you were talking about our children. I think one of, at least in my case, one of the biggest problems is I've tried to do everything for them and tried to be their provider instead of allowing them to, or, you know, having them to go do for themselves. And it's actually kind of backfired on me. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I am curious. So how is it, how did it backfire on you?
Well, it's because, like, you know, you were talking about the young men today that couldn't change their oil and that kind of stuff. It's like I did everything for them instead of, I'm kind of a fast paced guy. So I'd rather do something myself than wait for somebody else to do it. You know, so I think, when I look back on it, I think maybe I should have, made them start cutting grass. For instance, when I was, my grandfather passed away in 76 and I was, about 13 years old when he passed away. He had me mowing grass for a couple of years, you know, up and down the street, making $2.50 or $5 for a yard, you know. So that's the way I was raised, whereas my children, I didn't force them to do that kind of thing. I wish now that I had done that rather than trying to be their provider and make them more self-sufficient instead of dependent, you know.
You know, Ronnie, I get it. You know, raising your kids to be self-sufficient and, you know, making them start doing these things at a younger age. I mean, by the time your kids are teenagers, they ought to be doing chores around the house, learning how to, you know, do the laundry, all those kinds of things. Otherwise, they're not going to learn how to do it, or they're going to be a horrible spouse to somebody down the road.
Well, you know, I think, too, we're so worried about them getting hurt and that kind of thing. I was operating a chainsaw at 10, 12 years old, and now, you know, I was always afraid to put things in my children's hands. And if you, a friend of mine brought up a point a while back, in the 1960s, if you opened up owner's manual for a Corvette, on page 13, I think he told me it was, they were showing you how to adjust the valves. And today, the same Corvette on a 2020 or 2022, that same page number tells you not to drink the battery acid. You know, where have we gone now? You know what I mean? I think common sense is not so common anymore.
It's true. And a lot of this has to go, and again, I get it. Not every millennial is like this. Not every Generation Z-er is like this. But a majority, according to these surveys out there, a majority say they don't know how to do these things. And if you remember just a couple of years back, Ronnie, it was the Super Bowl. You had the commercial where, you know, they had the, everybody was getting a participation trophy, and the pushback, there was a great, one of the car companies, truck companies, actually took the, participation trophy and just threw it away. That's the problem, is that we're really kind of coddling a generation. We don't want them to feel bad. We don't want them to experience loss or losing.
I think sometimes we're a little too protective, too. I think I waited too late to start showing my children. Like I said, I was 8, 10 years old, cutting grass with a push mower, you know, today, like, my children were probably 14, 15 years old before I started doing that. So I think we just protect them a little too much.
Ronnie, that's a good thought, and I know a lot of people are going to want to weigh in on what you just had to say. Appreciate you calling in. I want to go to Amanda in Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Amanda. What's up?
Hey, just wanted to comment on the kids working today. I'm kind of like Ronnie. We've protected our kids too much, and with OSHA saying, oh, you know, they can't work here or they can't work there until they get 16, 18 years old, you know, they're not allowed to work anymore. And growing up, I mean, my dad only had two girls, and so we learned how to mow yards. We learned how to change the oil in our vehicles, as girls. And, I mean, because, I mean, he wanted us to know how to do those things, and he didn't have boys to pass it on to. And in a way, it's a kind of good thing, because my husband's dad didn't pass those things on to him. He didn't let him mow the yard because he didn't do it the way he wanted him to do it. So I know how to change washers and sink faucets and all that stuff. So it's just kind of it's what we've taught our kids. And I've tried to teach my girls, hey, you got to kind of know how to take care of yourself.
I have to tell you, Amanda, that, you know, if there's some young Generation Z-er looking for a bride, and he comes across a girl that can not only cook delicious food, but also change the oil in the car, I think, you know, it's a match made in heaven.
I agree, because nowadays, they, you know, guys can't even do those things.
Oh, it's true.
They take it to Jiffy Lube instead.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I mean, good for Jiffy Lube. You know, they need the business. But you know, Amanda, I've always been impressed with the work ethic. And somebody out there will take me to task for saying this. But I think the workers at Chick-fil-A, who are mostly kids, do a better job than most of the other fast food restaurants out there. There's just an air of something different about kids working at a Chick-fil-A compared to a McDonald's or a Wendy's.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, I've got a 30-year-old and a 21-year-old, and they both worked while they were in college. They're both, still work now. My 30-year-old, she treats even her elders with respect. She treats the ones younger than her with respect. It's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and yes, sir, no, sir, and she's just, and they're going, you don't have to talk to us like that. And she says, no. She says, my mama raised me that this is the way you talk to people. And I am going to talk to you like that. As long as you respect me, I respect you. And I mean, and she works her tail off. And my youngest one does the same thing. She does it. She's in college now. And we try to, even with things expensive like they are, we've tried to give her, you know, extra money for food. Nope, I don't want it. I'll make do. I don't want it. I'll make do.
And well, I'm like, good okay, for her. You know? Good for her. You know, we have our favorite young conservative on. He was Riley was on the show yesterday. And, you know, he told his parents as soon as he turned 18, went to college, mom, dad, I appreciate you and I appreciate your support, but I'm doing it all by myself from here on out. And, you know, working two, three jobs just to pay the bills to get through college, that kind of a person, just like your daughter, they're going to be very successful in their lives.
Well, we pay her rent, but she pays everything else. I mean, she pays all her other bills, and she tries to do her best. And like I said, her sister even tried to give her money the other day, and she's like, nope. I'm doing this on my own.
Well, if I had a sibling giving me cash, I may take the cash, Amanda. I'm just...
Well, and of course, I try to tell her, hey, make sure you give back to what, you know, give back to God what is God's, you know. And I've tried to raise them both that way. You know, I didn't do that for the longest time, but, you know, I've learned that way too. And I've learned the hard way, you know, if you... just give back to what is God's, because it all belongs to him anyway.
Get that 10%. That's it. Amanda, thank you for that. Again, there's a common theme here. You are doing your job as a parent, and you're teaching your kids, you're training your kids, so that when they leave the nest, they're going to be able to take care of themselves and their household.
Well, Like I said, we did a disservice letting OSHA come in and saying, hey, they can't work till they're 16. It's too dangerous. They can't work on farms now. They can't work, you know, they can't work anywhere now. And, you know, because it's too dangerous, you know, they've got to be a certain age to work.
I would contend it's more dangerous for them to sit at home on their butts and not understand what it means to work and what it means to get out there and sweat and work hard and do a task. I think that might even be more dangerous. Amanda, we got to run here. God bless you, and thank you for calling in, and great job raising your kids. What a great story. Let's go to, let me give the number again, 844-747-8868. We have a line open now. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Jesse in North Carolina. Jesse, I'm interested to hear your story. I understand you're a self-taught toolmaker. How did that happen?
Well, Todd, I go back to living on the very edge of the Texas city limits, Todd. And in my front yard, I had the entire city limits of Statesville. And then in my backyard, I had thousands of acres of forest. And so I got to see the difference in the lifestyle of a city life versus, you know, living a country life, and how people, how that affects their way of learning, teaching, and what she said, Amanda there, I think some of the biggest problems is the legislation has gotten in and interfered in a lot of ways. But the biggest thing is paying attention to a child when they're young. Is their interest, whatever interests them, is the best way is to teach them. Because they will learn so much stronger by using the things that they're interested in is how to teach them the things. But to me, I've never stepped foot in a college. And my father was he quit in eighth grade. And I'm not promoting anybody to quit school by no means.
Well, no, I mean, you need to get a good education. But again, I think it goes back to this, Jesse, that ultimately, at the end of the day, you don't need a college degree to be successful in life. I think you've illustrated that by, you know, teaching yourself how to be a tool maker. Jesse, I hate to do this. We've got to skedaddle. We are late for a break. But I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for that. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Todd, this is Theo Crampton from Iowa. I just wanted to let you know that I totally disagree with you on this point. I have a son born 1988. Joined the military, served 2 years or two tours, one Iraq, one Afghanistan. He's never lived in his mommy's basement. And he knows how to change a tire. He knows how to sew a button. He knows how to clean a house. He knows how to make a bed. He knows how to wash clothes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us. Let's go right to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Doug LaMalfa on the line with us. Congressman, we apologize for the delay, but good to have you with us today.
Hey, great to be on with you. How's things going?
Things are going well, and I want to jump in here. We don't have a lot of time, but this story about what's happening with the female athletes, and especially swimming star Riley Gaines, is just really appalling, and I'm glad to see that you are taking up this case.
Hey, it's not just me. We have several colleagues working on it as well, and you know, any normal-thinking person wonders how the heck we even got here, you know. Greg Stube from down in Florida carried a bill last time and is doing one this time that I'm going to be a joint author on as well. So this just, why do we have to even be doing a bill on this, Todd? It makes no sense to me. You know, men are men, women are women, God created you, and that's the end of it. These people trying to cross over and ruin girls and women's sports is as you said, appalling. And it's taken opportunities away from girls and young women to go on and do great things when you have some couple of guys running track or swimming with you.
Now, Congressman, you represent the 1st Congressional District there in California. I love how you frame this. It's gender ideology propaganda. I mean, that's all this is.
And it just amazes me how many people are falling into this trap. The NCAA, the at some level, the Olympics are going to be doing this. It's just maybe not. I don't know how far the Olympics are going to go with this. But everybody's just looking around like the emperor has no clothes here. And it defies logic. And it really makes me angry as a dad of, daughters. But just to see this happen, any girls and women to have their opportunities ruined by something that's completely absurd. And so we need to be protecting them. We need to push back on this crazy agenda. You could pass this along to a drag queen story hour, putting kids in front of all this. And then this hurry to, if a kid might be thinking something out of the ordinary and what their gender is, they're going to get a sex reassignment surgery or something. At very young ages, they can't even do many things until they're 18 or 21, but they want to have them make these permanent decisions. So we're working on legislation on that side, too, to protect kids. So we got to protect our minor girls, our adult women, and our kids from this crazy agenda on sex identity being taken and just stirred in. I run out of words sometimes, Todd.
Congressman, I'm curious, your constituents there in California, which, everyone thinks, all of California is, liberal. That is not the case. And I'm curious to know if you're getting response from people there about your decision to stand up and fight alongside these female swimmers and female athletes.
Well, we're getting a very positive response from, every district is going to have a few crazies in it such that think this is a great idea. And obviously I don't represent something like San Francisco or the East Bay or LA or something like that where this sort of thing is incubated. But there's a whole bunch of California, and look at the map, it'd be probably 2/3 of the state, let's say, inland from the coast, 20 miles, 30 miles, that it's not as crazy as what is pushed, what the perception is, right? We're not all to Disneyland, we're not all surfboards. We have a lot of normal people inland that are farmers and ranchers and loggers and miners and they drive pickups and they like hunting and they think they should be able to own guns and defend themselves. They think men are men and women are women, and that's how it should be. So there's just really no room for this nonsense, no matter where you are, because it's a distraction from what has made our country strong by having people at each other's throats over this craziness. And the bottom line is that the people that are undergoing these sex changes, I've seen stats that the incidence of suicide is like, I believe, 18 times higher than what would be average. So this is not giving them a truth or reality. There's videos out there and such where they've interviewed folks and they felt like they've been lied to. And so to propagate this in the sports themselves, Riley Gaines, she's a hero, man. This young lady,
yes,
from Kentucky there, who's done so well in swimming, but being forced to accept a co-equal trophy with a guy parading as a woman, and so I mean, Riley really deserves a lot of credit for standing up for this and being able to be in the line of fire.
And Congressman, you deserve political a lot of credit as well, Congressman, for standing up for all of these female athletes. I am so sorry, but the computer is going to cut us off here. Congressman, right. We appreciate you. Congressman Doug LaMalfa on the Todd Stearns Radio Program.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Happy to have you with us today. Hour 3 of the big show. Hang tight if you're on the lines. We're going to get to you, folks, I promise, but just hang tight for a little while. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Great to have with us from Oklahoma, Senator James Lankford. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
I am actually doing well. Thank you.
Senator, right out of the gate, want to talk about some legislation that you are reintroducing today for gun owners, for those defenders of the Second Amendment, specifically when it comes to these pistol braces. I want you to tell us about your pistol brace bill.
Yeah, pistol brace bill is pretty straightforward. If you've got a pistol brace that should not be considered some, special item that they need to go through special permission to be able to get from ATF. ATF years ago ruled on pistol braces and said it's a pistol brace. That's what it is. It doesn't make your pistol into a short-barreled rifle, which is now what ATF is trying to say. They're saying it's an assistance piece to be able to help people. It was originally designed, as you know, for people with disabilities to still be able to shoot their pistol and to be able to hold it in such a way that it helps them in being able to do exactly what it says, a pistol brace, to be able to help them. If anyone thinks it suddenly turns a pistol into an assault rifle, they've never seen a pistol, number one, and a pistol brace.
And of course, also, it's to help disabled veterans as
right.
well here.
That was the original design. That's correct. For disabled veterans to still be able to still enjoy shooting sports and to still be able to hold it stable. And so, again, it's an adaptive device that's designed to be able to assist individuals that need additional assistance to be able to hold a pistol and to be able to use it. It is not some secret weapon of war that needs special permission from ATF to get. And what ATF is actually releasing for all the who knows how many pistol braces that are out there, they're now saying to everyone, you need to destroy that pistol brace or you need to contact ATF and get special permission and fill out forms and pay a fee to be able to keep what I told you a few years ago was no problem to have. Now I've changed my mind under the Biden administration, and now the Biden administration has determined that pistol braces are somehow evil and terrible. And if you bought one before, even though ATF told you it's okay, now ATF is telling you, oops, I changed my mind. Well, that's absurd. That shouldn't happen that way.
No, it shouldn't, Senator. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but going back, and I haven't read the National Firearms Act in a long time, but it was my understanding those pistol braces were actually exempt from any regulation under the NFA.
That's correct. That's correct. And that was an official ruling from ATF itself to be able to say, yes, these do not apply, and as well they should not. So, again, it's an assistive device for firing a pistol. Most people, by the way, I think that shoot pistols or enjoy sports shooting, that they would see a pistol brace and go, oh, I don't want to use that. I don't like that. I don't want to be able to use it. That's a preference things for a shooter. But some people, that is a preference, or for those with a certain disability, it's an essential device for them to be able to use on this for their own sport shooting.
So what happens if this rule goes into effect and an American has a pistol brace? What are they looking at here?
They're now violating federal law at that point that ATF can then come in and try to be able to fine them and say that they're in violation of the National Firearms Act, and they can come in and come after it. And so it does become a big issue for them. So for ATF to basically step in and say, just kidding, we've changed our mind, and now we're going to just declare this to be under the National Firearms Act, that's a very big issue for us. And that's why I'm saying that ATF is threatening to say, we're going to require folks that already own these right now that bought it when they were fully appropriate and approved by ATF, we're going to require these folks to either destroy it, turn it in, or to then pay a fee to ATF to be able to actually register it.
Oh, wow.
And I have a bill to absolutely 100% block that.
Well, are you hearing from any Democrats? Because you've got to have some Democrat support here. Anybody in the Senate willing to stand up for Second Amendment supporters?
We don't know yet. I can't just get anybody in the Senate. I've got to get 11 people in the Senate on the Democrat side to be able to step up for this basic common sense piece. And so it will go through the House. I'm very confident of that. But then we've got to be able to get through the Senate and be able to speak out. And we've got to have a president that just announced publicly at a State of the Union address that he wants to get rid of all assault weapons because he's afraid of any gun, no matter what caliber it shoots, if it looks scary. And we're at that point now with this administration. What it requires is a response. We're responding. We're going to try to build a coalition to be able to get this done. Yeah. And we've got outside groups and other entities that are all stepping up and saying that's exactly the right way to go and pointing to our bill. And so we're going to try to do the work to get this done.
All right. Senator James Lankford, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator, I know earlier this morning there was a Senate briefing with regard to the Chinese spy balloon. Any information that you're able to share with us about that meeting?
No, there's really not. It was a classified briefing, so technically I guess I should say what briefing. But I would only say there's not a lot that I can share from it. There is information on the public. The biggest issue that I have that's been my question all along is that the Biden administration jumped in and said when this balloon was over Montana, hey, we need to determine what to do with it. And my response has been, it's been well documented. This balloon came in over the Aleutian Islands in Alaska, came all the way across Alaska, cut across Canada, down into the northern part of the United States. It was over American airspace for a week before it ever got to Montana. But for whatever reason, this administration determined, I guess, that Alaska doesn't count anymore as American airspace and didn't really take action on it until it reached the continental United States. That's the jarring part. And for the statement of, well, we're not going to shoot it down over land, we're going to wait to shoot it down over water, there happens to be water off the coast of Alaska, and that when this balloon, a Chinese spy balloon, crossed into American airspace, for us not to respond to it really shows me this president hesitated. And that hesitation led to who knows how much intelligence information being gathered by the Chinese, but he hesitated at the moment that we needed him to act. And it's another foreign policy mistake made by this president. We can't have a president that when China actually moves their spy equipment over the United States and Alaska or anywhere else, to be able to hesitate and say, we're going to think about it for a while.
I'm not very relieved by the response coming out of the Pentagon here, Senator, because they were telling us, and the reporting over the past 24 hours is that they had successfully covered up a lot of the sensitive positions on military bases. What the heck? So if they knew this was a spy balloon, why was it not brought down? That's what gets me.
100% my question as well. They can say, you know, we didn't determine this was a threat or whatever it may be. At the end of the day, if the Chinese launch anything that moves into our airspace, we need to be able to bring it down. I mean, that's a simple, straightforward issue. We don't fly into their airspace. They don't fly into ours. I understand they can function. They can fly their balloon around the international waters. That is just fine and perfectly appropriate for us to do or them to do. But when they cross into American airspace, which they did when they crossed into American airspace off the coast of Alaska, we should have brought it down at that moment. And he failed to act at the moment that we needed a clear decision to be made.
I'd like to know, and again, last weekend, you had President Biden say, well, I wanted to shoot it down on Wednesday, but they said, no, we needed a way. I want to know who's giving the commander-in-chief orders. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, the same question is there. When he said, yeah, I wanted to do it that day, remember a week before it was over Alaska.
Right.
And so to say, I decided on Wednesday to be able to take it down. Okay, well, what about the previous Wednesday when the decision should have been made when it entered American airspace in Alaska?
We had President Trump on the show on Monday, and I asked him about these reports that, you know, they're saying, well, these balloons flew over American airspace during the Trump years, but we just didn't tell the president because we were afraid of what he might do.
I'm not buying that at all. I would only say that none of the folks from the Trump administration were informed on this, and they were still trying to be able to piece things together on it. There's no way that President Trump could have been informed on it or would have been informed on it because they were still trying to be able to figure the whole thing out. At the end of the day, this whole, what they're trying to do is this sameness of, you know, well, a balloon flew over the United States under Biden. There was also a balloon that flew over the tip of Florida at one point on it, and trying to be able to equate those two is absurd.
And I'm hoping, I know you can't say, but I'm hoping all of these questions were asked in the classified briefing that you guys had earlier this morning.
We've had a couple of very, very thorough briefings with some exceptionally frank conversation.
Good. And I hope some, we know that some Democrats are just as horrified by this. I mean, even Leon Panetta from the Obama administration were freaking out over this kind of stuff.
And should. And again, it goes back to the same basic principle. When the President of the United States hears that the Chinese intelligence operation is about to fly over Alaska into American airspace, that's the moment to be able to act, not a week later.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there, Senator. A lot of great information you brought to us today. And by the way, thanks for bringing in the Border Patrol Union President, Brandon Judd, as your guest at the State of the Union address.
You know, glad to do that. When President Biden went to El Paso to the border, he refused to meet with the Border Patrol Union. The most pro-union president out there would not meet with union leadership at the Border Patrol because he knew what he would hear. And so since Biden wouldn't meet with him on the border, I brought the Border Patrol Union to Biden at the State of the Union address.
Did they give you guys subtitles so you could understand what the president was saying, or was that just... That was
in the room. I don't know if it was on TV. Apparently it was, but in the room, it was a little tough to be able to understand it.
Trust me, it was tough even on my flat screen TV with HD. Yes. All right, Senator, appreciate your great work, and thanks for hopping on the show today.
Too bad. Glad to do it, Todd.
All right, folks, there you go. So Senator Langford, a part of this classified briefing this morning, and so he can't go into the details. But suffice it to say, they had some frank conversations. And the fact, and again, going back to what Biden said, and I'm glad the senator brought this up, Biden said he wanted to shoot it down on Wednesday. But the fact of the matter is, by that point, they had known that balloon had been flying over U.S. airspace for several days, and they did nothing. And even if they didn't know it was a spy balloon, which they did, of course they did. But let's just assume, for the sake of the argument, they had no idea what that balloon was carrying. It could have had anything. It could have had an explosive device, a biological weapon. This thing could have gone a very different way because this administration failed to act. All right, we got to take a break here. We're going back to the phones when we come back, 844-747-8868. Are we getting the full story here on what this balloon debacle was really all about? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, just a reminder about what AT&T DirecTV has been doing to Newsmax. Still at an impasse, they have removed Newsmax from their platform. 13 million homes now denied Newsmax TV. And Newsmax, by the way, the fourth highest rated cable news channel in all of America. And they have been deplatformed. AT&T owns DirecTV, the second conservative channel they have removed in a year. But they still have 22 liberal news channels on the air. And that's where we need your help, by reaching out and letting DirecTV know that you want Newsmax back on or you're going to cancel your subscription. Ron DeSantis says Newsmax was targeted. President Trump says AT&T and DirecTV censorship is unacceptable. And he's recommending that you cancel both service plans. Here's the number to call, 877-NEWSMAX. That's 877-NEWSMAX, and they'll take you directly to AT&T and DirecTV. That's 877-NEWSMAX. And listen up, call your congressman as well and complain about the censorship. That number again, 877-NEWSMAX. All right, let's get to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Linda in North Carolina. Hi, Linda. What's on your mind today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. There are several reports that I have read concerning this balloon that President Biden wanted to shoot it down sooner than he did, but General Miley nixed it. And I want to know what kind of power this general has over our commander-in-chief that he would be able to do that.
Well, there is clearly a lot of power in the Pentagon, and Mark Milley, the general, he is the same guy that that really put the screws to President Trump. You might remember in the aftermath of J6, it was Mark Milley who called together many military officials inside the Pentagon and basically had them swear allegiance to him, that they would not follow through if President Trump wanted to launch a nuclear weapon, which is ludicrous because Trump wasn't going to do that. It was Milley who reached out to the Chinese and his counterpart and basically said, hey, look, we're not going to do anything. I mean, that's just outrageous. That in and of itself, he ought to be serving time at Fort Leavenworth. But he's not.
I agree.
But he's not. It's just outrageous. So I'm with you, Linda. It doesn't make any sense, and it is a dangerous thing. And that, to me, is even more dangerous than the Chinese spy balloon flying over America. It's the Pentagon going rogue.
I agree. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Linda, thank you, and thank you for listening to the program. New poll out, by the way. Trump beats Ron DeSantis in the 2024 primary if Nikki Haley is the spoiler. YouGov has the polling data, and they say that if Nikki Haley is in the race, here we go, Trump versus in the DeSantis versus Trump, DeSantis wins 45% to Trump's 41, 11% not sure. DeSantis versus Haley versus Trump, well, at that point, you've got Trump ahead 38%, Ron DeSantis 35%, Haley at 11%, and 15% are unsure. So there you go. Now, we have a former Trump official, Alyssa Farah. She is one of the squawking magpies on The View, and she's predicting that DeSantis will quickly implode under Trump's attacks. Now, this is we touched on this briefly yesterday, and there's the report out that DeSantis, when he was fresh out of college, taught at a private school in Georgia, the Darlington School. And it was there that he was photographed at a party with some young girls. The girls apparently were 18, so it really doesn't matter, but it's all the optics. And so anyway, the insinuation is that DeSantis was doing something improper. There have been no official allegations at all ever, but that's the allegation. And so people are very upset with President Trump for sharing these memes that were basically portraying DeSantis as being a naughty person. But I think we have to look at this through a different lens. And it could be that Trump is just trying to see if DeSantis is going to fight back, if he's going to punch back. Keep in mind, Donald Trump may be doing all of us a favor here. Because if Ron DeSantis turns out he has a glass jaw, he goes down when the Democrats throw the first punch. And the only reason I say this is because Trump has a history of not being the first to attack. You attack him, and then he lays you out. So maybe Trump is just seeing if DeSantis really, has the man parts to fight back. Just a theory. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool. Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
All right, folks, a reminder. We are taking a great big team of folks, about 100 people, to Israel later this fall, November of 2023. It is our Stand With Israel tour. It is a first-class, 7-day, 7-night trip to the Holy Land, and you're going to want to be a part of this. It's bring the family. It's going to be family-friendly. We're going to have a great contemporary Christian artist with us, leading us in worship. And, of course, you're also going to be able to meet some high-level Israeli government leaders during the visit. And if you'd like information, go to our website, toddstearns.com. You can also call Dylan. And you can get all the information. He'll take all your info, and we'll take care of it that way. 844-747-8868 is that telephone number. And we'd love for you to be a part of our great trip. It's going to be just an amazing journey. All right, a crazy story out of New York State where The university system there, the State University of New York, will require all students to take courses related to social justice and diversity, equity, and inclusion beginning in the fall. And this is, it's not the only state where this is happening, but if you send your child to a state institution, they're going to come back not knowing their pronouns and hating America. And that's why so many people are turning to schools like Hillsdale. And it's amazing. I mean, just phenomenal to see what's happening. Hillsdale College saw a 53% increase in applications. What does that tell us? Well, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and find out. Zach Miller is the director of admissions at Hillsdale, senior director of admissions. Zach, good to have you with us today.
Good to be with you, Todd.
How do you even have time to talk to us? I mean, you got thousands of kids wanting to come to Hillsdale. Shouldn't you be interviewing somebody right now?
Yeah, we've got a great team of folks who do a lot of interviews. We actually interview a ton of the students who actually come to Hillsdale. But yeah, we're pretty busy this time of year, that's for sure.
I'm curious what you're hearing from not just moms and dads, but also students. Why Hillsdale?
Yeah, it's last 2 years, especially with the increase in applications that we've seen, it's a lot of folks who are just scrambling to figure out how they find higher education that fits within the things they've learned in high school. A lot of homeschool students who have been homeschooled because they aren't interested in learning kind of the new trendier academic approaches to education, and they want something that's rooted in the timeless truths of the Western tradition. And so as more and more colleges and universities today are shifting away from those things, there's very few schools like Hillsdale that are remaining steadfast to a classical liberal arts curriculum. And so as that's happening, we're hearing anecdotally from more and more families that they just aren't confident in maybe the schools that, you know, their parents went to or the ones that they were familiar with in their area, and they're looking for places like Hillsdale that teach toward the idea of truth and the Western tradition and the great conversation.
And even many Christian colleges and universities that you would think would be safe havens for that, teaching that kind of thing, are no longer doing that. So it's really important for parents and students to do their homework to make sure they're going to a school that is still clinging to those values and principles.
Yeah, and so we welcome about 3,000 visitors a year to campus. Student visitors a year where they get to experience what it's like to be a student. They get to sit in on classes, they meet our students, they meet our professors, and they have a chance to see that we're doing the same thing we've done for over 175 years, and that's an education that best develops the minds and improves the hearts of its students, but one that's rooted in the timeless truths of the Western tradition and the things that are important, like faith and family and community and human nature, things that will help us understand how to lead virtuous lives. And our students are really embracing that.
You know, it really is this. I mean, when you think about it, Zach, I mean, you guys have not only maintained that traditional core curriculum, I mean, you're doubling down on it. And I think not just parents, but students appreciate that.
Oh, certainly. There a lot of colleges today are trending more toward finding out what students are interested in, and then they're creating majors and programs around those things. Hillsdale is doing the exact opposite. In fact, in the last, I'd say, 10 or 15 years, it's expanded some of the curriculum requirements for its core. But we think that's essential to understanding the essential parts of the world that we live in, what it means to be a human being, how to think well, how to understand how discerning truth matters. And so the core is about 2 years of a student's experience. Those first 2 years takes about half their time, and they're learning things like philosophy and history and theology, but also the natural sciences, biology, chemistry, physics, the fine arts. And they're doing that in a shared way where the conversations, the great books that they're reading, you know, they're talking about those things outside of class, and they're committing them not only to their minds, but to their hearts. And when they leave Hillsdale, you know, it's commencement for a reason. They've hopefully gained a foundation and an understanding about how to lead a virtuous life so they can make their communities a better place. And that's an important thing for us here.
So, in other words, when you're talking about that core curriculum, you guys aren't going to be offering, you know, degree majors in the philosophical study of Rihanna's Super Bowl performance.
Last I checked, that's not in the course catalog.
Oh, that's good to know. I mean, that's you know, but you never know these days. By the way, folks, we have Zach Miller, who is the Senior Director of Admissions for Hillsdale College, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And it really, it does sound like Hillsdale is the antidote for this wokeness that has infected so much of the academic community.
Yeah, if you think education is about understanding how human beings ought to live and how we ought to order our souls in accordance with truth and virtue, there's not many colleges out there that do it in the way that Hillsdale does today, unabashedly. So a study in those classical liberal arts to understand, you know, more fully what it means to be a human being, and how we go out in the community and lead good lives, that's resonating with a lot of folks.
I think this is just terrific. And Zach, when you look at the health of a nation, we need that. I mean, we need colleges and universities that are doing what you guys are doing. And that was going back to the early founding of the nation and the early days of the Ivy Leagues. They were doing those things, and now they've just completely lost their minds. And so really, it's imperative for the health of the nation that we have a very strong and vibrant and growing Hillsdale College.
Yeah, well, we need an educated citizenry, and one of the things that all Hillsdale students will do as part of the core curriculum is they'll take a course on the U.S. Constitution, where they will understand the founding ideas, and they'll read the founding documents and understand how our country ought to operate. And a lot of our students won't go into politics, and that's fine, but at least they're educated citizens, and they know how they ought to lead lives well in their communities and how to vote and do all the things that are required of us as citizens. And that educated citizenry is essential to maintaining our freedoms, and that's something Hillsdale takes very seriously.
Zach, are you guys able to accommodate the numbers? Do you have a set number of students you guys want, or can you accommodate the thousands of people that are, you know, leaving public university and wanting to go to Hillsdale?
You know, we always we say that the worst part of our job is that we have to say no to a lot of great kids. You know, we aim to matriculate a class of about 380 students each year. That's the size that we have with the size of campus, with dorms, with keeping student to faculty ratio low, maintaining kind of the culture of the place. And so we're saying yes to only about 20 to 25% of our applicants a year.
Wow.
Which has gone well down since I applied about 15, 20 years ago. But that's a hard thing for sure. And it's probably the worst part of our jobs right now.
All right, folks, if you would like information, we're going to make it simple. We have a link on our website. Hillsdale.edu is the website, Hillsdale.edu. And, of course, you guys have a lot of online things and other classes that people can take online as well, which are fascinating.
Yeah, so anybody who wants to experience some of the things that our students experience on a daily basis, we offer a variety of free online courses, and those you can sign up for, don't pay a dime, and you're going to learn a lot of the same ideas that our undergraduates are learning as well. That's all on our website, too.
All right, great stuff. Zach, we're going to let you get back to it. Congratulations, well done, and I know it's got to be a tough job, you know, just meeting with those students and whittling down that 20%, but man, are you guys just crushing it there, and we really appreciate the work that Hillsdale's doing.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to be on today, Todd.
All right, Zach Miller, ladies and gentlemen, he is the Senior Director of Admissions at Hillsdale College. If you would like information, hillsdale.edu. All right, Zach, thank you again. All right, folks, you heard Zach on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We were telling you about DirecTV and AT&T, the attacks they are waging right now against conservatives trying to shut down Newsmax, trying to shut down One America News. And now there's an opportunity for you to not only fight back, but do so in a very positive way. I want to encourage you to make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and Patriot Mobile actually takes a portion of their earnings, and they are investing that to fight for causes that are important to us, religious liberty. You heard Senator James Lankford talking about the Second Amendment. By the way, Patriot Mobile also very involved in getting conservatives elected to school boards all over America. So you would actually be signing up for a wireless service that is out there changing America for the good. So here's what I want you to do. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. They've got a page just for our listening audience. And they have all sorts of great deals, great discounts, especially for veterans and first responders. If you want to check the coverage map, they've got that there as well. And if you want to give them a call, you can do that. 972-PATRIOT. It's a U.S.-based customer service team, so you're going to be able to understand them. That's 972-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Now, use my name, Todd, and they're going to give you an even bigger discount. We'll be right back.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool. Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Man, the knives are out in Trump world. Steve Bannon attacking Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I thought you did a pretty good job. I just don't see where Bannon is getting off attacking her for the speech she delivered. But Bannon is really angry at Sarah Sanders and says that she is not intellectually capable. I find that hard to believe. He said, if you're going to give a counter speech, you've got to talk about important issues. He says, don't get me wrong, the wokeism is very important, but it's not quite the heart of the matter right now. It's not the heart of the matter. She is not the reason. She is just not intellectually capable of going to the heart of the matter. Let's be blunt. That, according to Steve Bannon on his podcast, I think he had Lou Dobbs on. I haven't heard from Lou in a long time. But I'm wondering, are you seeing what Steve Bannon saw? I think he was also upset because she did not mention Trump by name. Say his name! He was saying, say his name. Say his name. 844-747-8868. But he said it was a terrible speech. Steve Bannon did. He also said it was an insult to President Trump. She does not exist politically if it was not for President Trump. That speech I thought was terrible. It goes into wokeism, and that's all interesting, but you got to get to the heart of the matter. He says the heart of the matter is the debt ceiling, the CCP. If you're going to give a counter speech, you got to talk about important issues. You see, I disagree with this. That's not her in her wheelhouse as governor of Arkansas. And she talked about the things that she's trying to do as a Republican governor in Arkansas. Anyway, I don't know. We're just killing each other these days. It's enemy fire. Everybody's getting our friendly fire. Everybody's getting taken out by friendly fire. Well, I got to play this audio. Matt Walsh testifying up at the Tennessee State Capitol, and these Democrats, he is freaking them out. So there's some legislation that would make it illegal for children to undergo gender reassignment surgery. Cut number 18, please.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. I found it interesting. One of our people testified today that they had their gender affirming surgery at 16. And I know you in former comments mentioned this on your blog. At about 16, you're an adult who is mature and can make decisions. You're that at 16. I don't care what anybody says, even going so far as to say, you know, 16 people, when you're 16, you should be married and could be pregnant or should be pregnant. So I'm curious if 16 is an adult in your view. Why does this bill have the minor defined as 18?
Mr. Walsh, you're recognized.
That's a hit piece you took from Media Matters, from something when I was a radio host 13, 14 years ago, in my early 20s. It's also not an accurate reflection of what I actually said. I was talking about the fact that people tended to marry young historically, and that's all that was about. How does that relate to the, to this subject?
Just curious of your definition of if you feel like people are adults at 16, should...
No, people are adults at 18, but actually your brain is not fully developed until you're 25. So we should be having a conversation about whether we should even be doing these surgeries to people at 18. But certainly before 18, it's absurd. I mean, do you think that a 16-year-old can meaningfully consent to having their body parts removed? Do you?
Silence.
No?
We do not. Yeah, we ask the questions. It's not. It's Representative Hammer, you are recognized.
How dare you? We ask the questions, not you. So the guy asking the question, his name is State Representative Caleb Hemmer. He's a Democrat from Nashville. And he thought he was getting one over on Matt Walsh there at this hearing. There is some other audio out there. We're not going to have time to play this, but we'll try to play this tomorrow because it gives you some great insight into these Democrats. And so you had another lawmaker who took Matt Walsh to task for not having a college education and said, what qualifies you to have an opinion? I mean, literally asked Matt Walsh, what qualified you to have an opinion on whether or not it should be legal or illegal for a child to have their private parts whacked off? And Matt Walsh said, well, you know what? Yeah, I'm educated. I went to high school. I graduated. I can read. And I can form opinions based upon what I've read. I can do research. But again, the Democrats, they dismiss anyone who does not have a college degree. And in their minds, if you don't have a college degree, then, you know, you're ignorant. You're a redneck. Your opinion doesn't matter at all. Quite frankly, some of the most intelligent people I know never step foot in a college classroom. I mean, you can be book smart and still be dumb as rocks. You can. I mean, it's possible. I see it all the time. So anyway, good for you, Matt Walsh, for standing your ground there in the State House. The good news here in Tennessee, we have a supermajority of Republicans. So we're going to do the right thing. And it doesn't really matter what these Democrats say. That's why you need to get out there and make sure you're engaged in politics on the local level. Because a lot of these issues are now being decided in your state house. And if you don't believe me, just look at what's happening in the Tennessee State Capitol right now. All right, folks, we got to scoot out of here. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Congressman Lee Zeldin. He's going to be coming to Memphis for a big event with the Shelby County Republican Party. I'm a member of that. We're going to be talking to him. We'll be getting to your calls as well. In the meantime, you get out there. Have a great day, America. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.